With us this morning, we're going to read some out of the book of Zechariah, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter, Zechariah. We're going to start with the first verse. Appreciate service thus far. Appreciate what our hearts been made to feel. What we've seen thus far. I'm going to read you one verse before I read. Four chapters starting with the first verse. And I'm going to read you one verse. It said, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. So I answered and I spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof. And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter of the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah. Now, there's several things in this chapter, as I well know, and I don't know that I'll get around to any of those. And I just got a thought this morning, pretty simple, just to be honest with you. But that's okay. There's been a change. A change was coming. Something had to change for me and you to be saved. It could not stay like it was. It could not stand in the old order. Neither was there anybody that could keep the law. No man could even keep the law. I want to talk to us this morning, Lord being my helper. Trust and pray. This ought to be the familiarest, if there's such a word, the most familiar thing in our life, if we've been born again. It should be the most familiar thing in our life. It should be that corrects us. It should be that leads us, guides us, directs us. But yet, it's held captive. Now you bear with me for just a minute this morning. I don't know altogether what we might say or what we might do, but the scripture says here there was a change coming, and the change was showed unto Zechariah. It was showed to him early on, and I could go on and read a couple of chapters before this and the rest of the book of Zechariah for maybe you to get the whole meaning, but he said something that's very important in this verse. You heard it preached on, no doubt, many a time, but I'll promise you this morning that it is the most familiar thing in our life. If we know the Lord as our personal Savior, it should be that, my friend, that conducts our lifestyle. Amen. It should be. Does not mean that it is, but it should be. There's not anything in this world that should rule our lives outside of the Spirit of God. There's nothing, not anything. Brethren, we are who we are by the grace of God, which come by the Spirit of God. Woo! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Brethren, there's nothing greater, nothing greater in this life than the Spirit of God, my friend. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm not preaching, brethren, to a bunch of heathens. Thank God we ought to know the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes, sir. We ought to know it. We ought to thank God, live by it. We ought to get up by it. We ought to lay down by it. And brethren, we ought to live by it this morning. We ought to. It ought to be. It ought to be. You say, preacher, we ain't all preachers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Brethren, we're all spirit-filled Christians. Glory! Hallelujah! It ought not be a stranger to us. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! Thank God Zechariah had a foretaste of what God was going to do. Woo! Woo! Not by might, not by power, woo! But by my spirit, saith the Lord. Woo! Woo! Preacher, if it makes you do that, I don't want it. I got news for you. You get it and see how you act. Yeah. When he has his way, brethren, you ain't gonna act normal this morning. You know, the Lord, my friend, brought his kingdom in a different way. Yes, he did. He brought his kingdom in a different way. Brethren, and while Jesus was on the face of this earth, his kingdom acted different than what the law did. Did you not hear? Did you not know, my friend, that Jesus himself said that my kingdom is not of this world? Is that what he said? Not of this world. Woo! Woo! That ought to make you shout. It ought to make you cry. Woo! It ought to make you do something besides sit like a knot on a log. I know it ain't popular. I'll say this. It ought to be popular. It ought to be. We ain't all. We ain't all, my friend, going to do the same thing. But I'll promise you, and you'll have to admit, brethren, you've been in the midst of days, brethren, that the Spirit of God moved across this congregation, and you couldn't tell Adam from Sue. Woo! That not right? That ain't natural. That's not of the earth, earthly. No, sir. There's two of us. I preach it. I've done preached it. My friend, there's two of you. And thank God, one of you is the Spirit of God from the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It makes me do things sometimes that I wouldn't normally do. Preacher, I don't like the Spirit of God. Well, you're in an abundant crowd. Yes, you are. The real truth of it is, my friend, you can't even talk to people brethren, about the Spirit of God. You know why? They have no clue what you're talking about. No clue. No, sir. He said not. Brethren, it wasn't going to come. He wasn't going to overthrow his kingdom. He wasn't going to bring armies against till he might run people out and bring his kingdom in. He didn't do that. He, matter of fact, he told Peter, when Peter took the sword and sliced the old ear off, he said, put it up. Put it up. Thank God that's not my kingdom this morning. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to say this, my friend. There's a lot of people that likes to go to the house of God just as long as the Spirit of God ain't dealing with them. As long as they ain't nothing that happens, my friend, that's out of the ordinary. I want to tell you something, my friend, it ain't every time. It ain't every time, my friend, that people get up to do something that it is of the Lord. And sometimes we sit too long, my friend, dealing with what God wants us to do. Yes, sir. Well, I'm bashful. It doesn't matter. I can't speak. It doesn't matter. You might not be able to get up, my friend, and do just raise your hand. Yes, sir. I've seen it, hadn't you? I've seen people get up, my friend, so full they couldn't even open their mouth. Huh? Glory! But brethren, I felt the Spirit of God flowing through me. Thank God out of what they done. The Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Spirit. Preacher, I don't believe in all that old Spirit-filled stuff. It makes you do too many things. Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm going to tell you something. I've had the Spirit of God to get on me, my friend, on my daily job. Yes, sir. So much I had to dismiss myself. Yes, sir. Well, preacher, what's wrong with you? I got news for you. I like a little foretaste every now and again, don't you? Woo! I like to know, thank God he's still real in my everyday life. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Preacher, he ain't never got in the car with me. Truth of it is, you ain't never let him in. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care whether you like it or not. Get in your vehicle, my friend. You can't listen to God for listening to that junk. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Preacher, there's something wrong with you this morning. I want you to know, thank God the Spirit of God, brethren, will make you alive this morning. Yes, it will. It still raises the dead. I read an old sign down yonder years ago, back in the 70s. I delivered to this place, and I'd have to go into this office every now and again. This gentleman had a little plaque there. And the words that was on it, he said, "Them that do not believe the dead come back to life, or to be here at 3:30. Huh? That's comical, isn't it? I want you to know that a lot of people don't believe in living after this life. I got news for you. I'm going home one day.
Yes, sir. I'm going home. 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 Woo. Home. Brethren, it ain't going to be natural. Thank God, but it's going to be all spiritual. Preacher, I don't know. I shouldn't say this. They people get mad at me, but I don't care. You know why I don't care? The kingdom of God is not with observation. A lot of people going to heaven for different reasons. Do you know that? What did this writer say? I'm going to read it to you right quick. What did he say? Brethren, there was something that was coming that had never been here. Amen. Oh, oh. Preacher, you can't preach that. Oh, yes, I can. You know why I can? Because God never had seen it. Amen. Until his own son, thank God, reached back to glory. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah. Preacher, I'd like to know the future. What would you do with it? What would you do with it? Zechariah told us in that day it was the future. Yes, sir. It hadn't come yet. He had seven lamps. Did he not? Pipes to the lamps. Did he not? Had two olive trees. One on the right, one on the left. He said, which are the two witnesses? Listen to me. When Jesus Christ came into this world, my friend, he didn't come to set up no natural kingdom.
No, he didn't.
No, sir. He did not come, my friend, to set up and to deploy naturally. No, he didn't. He come to set up a spiritual kingdom, and thank God a spiritual kingdom he set up. And something come, brethren, that man never had. Man knowed about his punishment. Yes, they did. Man knowed about his destruction. They knowed about his judgment. And they knowed about his mercy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even under the law, God was a merciful God. Even though the law showed no mercy, with none in it. Listen, there's something that come, my friend, that man never had experienced. Never had since sin entered the picture. Yes, sir. I ain't got time to get into all that. The Spirit. Amen. It makes a difference. It does. You say, preacher, the Spirit come upon them. That ain't what I'm talking about. There's something that come, my friend, with that spiritual reception. You know what it's called? It's called grace. Grace. Yes, sir. I know God's riches at Christ's expense. Huh? That's exactly what it was. It took his own son, brethren, to bring grace into this world. Preacher, I don't know about that. They didn't have it. The Spirit of God would come upon them, but you know what it would not do? It would not indwell them. It never did. It's the reason they kept bringing offerings for their sins. Because they never was perfect. Brethren, neither are you perfect without the Spirit of God. Without it. Without it. You're dead this morning. Preacher, you ought not get excited. It takes the Spirit. It takes the Spirit. It ought to be. I said it in the beginning. It ought to be the most familiar thing to us. The most familiar. You ought to understand it when it passes by. I understand how it works. Don't you? I understand that I would be nothing without the Spirit of God. Amen. And you're nothing without it. It takes the Spirit. And brethren, that comes with a relationship. Amen. Yes, it does. It comes with a relationship. It comes with a knowledge of knowing. When I was lost, my friend, when I come under the knowledge that I was lost, I want you to know I didn't spend no good nights at home. I didn't. Troubled. I laid my head down at night. My friend, I saw myself dying and going to hell without a hope. But there was a hope. But I didn't have it. I didn't have it. Listen, we base a lot, most everything, just to be honest with you, on our experience between us and God. We base our whole life on it. Can I tell you something? The night I got saved, I have no clue. I can't tell you one iota of what went on. I can't. I didn't see no great light. I didn't hear no voice, my friend, speaking to me outside of the fact that I had something that I had to do. I'd been told, my friend, and I'm going to tell you this, you can believe what you want to. And I've told this many a time. I was 15 years old when I got saved. And I come into an old Baptist church and the man preached. And I did. I left there. I thought to myself, that man's a madman. Yeah. He's a madman. But I'm going to tell you something. When I left there, there's something left with me that had never left with me before. The Spirit. The Spirit. You say, preacher, you wouldn't save. No, it was convicting me. Convicting me, confirming the fact that I know if I died in this condition, I'd bust hell wide open. That's what I thought. That's what I really believed. Yes, sir. Without him, that's exactly right. Without him, that's where you're headed. I don't care if you married a man that's a church-going man, or if you married a woman that's a church-going woman, it don't give you no free ticket. Amen. You hear me? It's got to be a personal relationship between us and the Lord. I'm thankful this morning that I know a little bit about the Spirit of God. But the night that I went down, I really felt like this is my last opportunity. This is it. And I couldn't tell you, Jeff. I don't know what Carlton Rogers preached. I don't. But I can tell you this. There's something come out of that man that wasn't the words. You hear me? More he preached, brethren, the harder it come. Yes, sir. Preacher is preaching to you. Well, I don't know what he is preaching, but I know the Spirit. Yes, sir. That was dealing. And y'all know, I done told you, but I come down to the altar that night. And when I went down, my friend, I know without a doubt that I was going to bust hell wide open. I know that. I went down with that knowledge that hopefully he had saved me. Prayerfully he had saved me. All that was within me, I was banking on that he would save me. And you know what happened? He saved me. He did. Now I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people don't believe such as this. But I'm going to tell you this. I have never, ever, never, ever felt like I was going to bust hell wide open anymore. You hear me? I don't care if you say, preacher, that's just a one-time thing. Well, I want you to know at one time things made a difference in my life. Yes, it has. I didn't do it. No, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. David said over my friend, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Thank God, that's exactly what happened to me that night. My heart got fixed. Yes, sir. By what? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, how in this world did the blood get applied to your heart? By the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes, sir. I became a spiritual member of the church. Yes, sir. The church of the living God. And folks, it still takes the Spirit. Does it not? I hear people a lot of times, they said, Lord, I wished I could get in a good Holy Ghost meeting. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I wonder sometimes, why don't we just bring one with us? Yeah. why don't we prep enough, thank God, to be ready to go to meeting when we get here? We don't do it. We don't do it. We're so busy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next thing we know, it's Saturday. Next thing we know, it's Sunday morning. Sunday morning. And I know they, and I'll just tell you, I know they asked about daily Bible readers. And I don't raise my hand. I'm going to tell you why I don't raise my hand. Because I don't read my Bible every day. That's your preacher talking to you. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't a day goes by that I don't commune with him. Huh? And I read that scripture. Don't you? I read that scripture. I might not open that book, but brethren, that scripture starts rolling. I'm going to tell you what kind of problem I have. This is me. And I probably got the most dangerous job in the world to be doing this. But when I'm going down the road, my friend, and that scripture starts to rolling. It gets to rolling. You know what? Me and him, thank God, we have a talk. And the truth of it is, he does most of the talking. You know what he talks to me with? the Spirit and the Word of God. His Word. Brethren, His Word gets to rolling. I forget where I'm at. Preacher, you ought not tell nobody that. It's a fact. Just a fact. I can't help it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I ain't going to turn it off. I ain't going to turn it off. Preacher, I ate a lot of cars out there. They sure are, and I found out he's a good driver. Yes, sir. Preacher, I let the Spirit have its way every now and again. How many of us in that boat? I let the Spirit of God have its way every now and again. Can I tell you something? You're the reason it don't have its way all the time. I know this morning. I know this morning. I preached a message one night in a revival, and this woman, she stepped right outside the door. And evidently she didn't know I was standing right there next to the door. And she was talking to somebody out there and said, I don't know how in this world that man ever expects anybody to live like that. Said, you can't do it. Naturally, Robert, we can't. Huh? We ain't got it. It takes the Spirit. Does it not? It takes the Spirit. Yes, sir. In my life. Folks, it takes the Spirit in your life. Preacher, I don't want to admit that I'm that weak. The truth of it is, it's not an admittance. It's a submittance. Yes, sir. You know what the book says? Submit thyself unto God.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. A lot of people don't tell you that.
Amen.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Submission. Is that not right?
That's right.
Folks, I can't preach it on you. I don't have the power. There's a lot of people, my friend, in this world. They go to a meeting and they fall out and they'll get hands laid on and they get all such as this. I ain't going to get into all that, but I got news for you. There's different types of spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There is. Now I don't really know. I'm just going to be plain with you. You say, preacher, you getting on some of this other stuff, some of these other denominations, they said they people going to cut you off. I got news for you. It still takes the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit is not something to be afraid of. Do you know that? It's not. You know what the Lord told Moses under the law? He said, take off thy shoes.
Yeah.
Did he not? For the ground or the place where thou standest is holy ground.
Yeah.
Folks, do you know why this sanctuary is not holy ground? You know why? It's because you have never sacreded it as such. Like me, dislike me. It comes down to the spiritual of it. We're living in a day, my friend, where people said just bring anything, anything goes. In the house of God, it ought to be moderate.
Amen.
Moderation.
Yeah.
And it ought to be, my friend, my praise unto what? Him. Him. I don't praise you. You don't praise me. If you do, you're going to lose the battle. There's the praise and the worship that we do ought to be unto Him. Should it not? If we're led by the Spirit, do you know who it's going to be to? It's going to be to Him. Thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God's good. I want to come and get a verse of a song. I'm going to read you just a little bit of a verse. Under the law, even though they knew something of the mercies of God, they did not know what grace was. Grace. One writer says that in the book of Paul's writing, Ephesians or Galatians or one of those, he says, you are saved by grace. Through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. Grace. How much does grace mean to me and you? How much does the Spirit of God mean to me and you? He told Zechariah, he said, this thing's coming. And he said, it ain't coming by might. It ain't coming by power, but he said, it's coming by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Let me read one verse right quick. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou hast become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Grace. Truth of it is, it's the greatest thing in this world, is that of the grace of God. The Bible also says concerning the times of that day, he said, and the grace of God, which taketh away sin, hath appeared unto all men. You know what happens when God really convicts you of your sins? When God's conviction comes, folks, you ain't going to get rid of it. Amen. There's not but one remedy. One remedy. That's to get your heart right with God. And the truth of it is, you go read Paul's writing, he'll tell you that once you get your heart right with God, you know what you are? You're a new creature. In Christ Jesus. Spirit. Spirit. It takes it. It still takes it. We live by it. We're governed by it. Thank God it ought to be part of us. Let us stand. We'll sing verse some song.